Father God, as we just go and open your word for a moment this morning, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would allow our hearts to be open and sensitive to what you have for us. Lord God, we see you're doing amazing things. Lord God, nothing is impossible with you. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And we are more than conquerors, both in our lives and in our ministry to this community. Lord God, that you would just allow us to catch a vision, be encouraged, and allow you to strengthen us and meet our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to talk to you about God, prayer, and hard work. I want to talk to you that without a relationship with God, that you're doing things in your own strength and at times you're running on empty. How many can say amen to that? How many know the Lord and still feel like sometimes you're running on empty and you're asking God to give you the strength to do that? And how many would not, don't raise your hands, but how many would realize that once our walk with God slips away a little bit, it affects everything that we do. It affects how we think. It affects how we respond to certain situations. It affects how we look at things and our attitude and everything else. And then there's sometimes that we just are praying, God, we need a miracle. And God says, you're a part of that miracle. And he says that you have a responsibility to see that miracle happen, in the sense that your relationship with God, you're praying and seeking his face, and sometimes then God says, get busy. Say amen. They're all three work together for kingdom work. All three work together in our relationship with God and how we look at things. And this morning I'm going to ask you, how big is your God? I've asked you that before. I'm asking you it again. Maybe I should have made this a series, because you think, how big is your God? How big is your faith? And what is the biggest prayer that you've ever prayed to God? And when you look at that, when you look at that biggest prayer that you're praying to God, was it something that you could do, or were you actually out of the box? Were you actually believing that God could do something impossible? Or did you hold back? I'm challenging you this morning that how big your God is going to depend on how much you let him out of the box. Because God, one, is not going to be in a box. God has unlimited resources, unlimited abilities to make things happen. That's a good saying. We kind of like that saying around here, make things happen. Whatever you think about God, go bigger. Say amen. Whatever you're thinking, whatever your mind can think of, go bigger. Whatever prayer you're praying God to do, go bigger. If your prayer isn't, if God doesn't intercede, this won't happen. Your prayer isn't big enough. We put God in a box, and then we live within that box, and God wants so much more. Say amen to that. When we start living that, we're going to start seeing God do some amazing thing. J.B. Phillips has a classic book that you may have read. It says, Your God is Too Small. And it goes all the way back to, because we put him in a box. Because we're not thinking outside of that box. We're always told to work hard, right? We're always told to never give up. We're always told to keep going. We're always told to hang in there. But the truth of the whole matter is that most people stop short of what God wants for their life, and they never reach their goals. And the only reason that I could see that it happens is because most will quit once they're in the midst of obstacles. Once they hit that obstacle, they get discouraged. They hit the second obstacle, they're mad. In the third obstacle, they're thinking about giving up. And sometimes it's through that process that we end up missing what God wants for our lives. And sometimes we look short range instead of long range. We look at the immediate situation and we say, God, no way can you do this. And most of us don't let our dreams that are God-given come to completion. Our text this morning is really about a God-size accomplishment fulfilled in a human being listening to God. Daring to trust God. Daring to ask the impossible. Joshua's accomplishments were not because of whose son he was or you know what church he went to or what he had done in the past. It was coming back to what he was willing to allow God to do in his life. So let me kind of set this up a second before we get to the text. You know, it was Moses who brought Israel out of Egypt. And we see an amazing move of at least 2 million people that move out of Egypt on a God moment and come to the Red Sea, and God does amazing things and a miracle there. And yet later on, we see Moses send 12 spies into the Promised Land, and 10 of them come back with a negative report, and Moses listens to the two. He listens to the two and misses what they have, and only Joshua and Caleb were the only two that came back and came back with a report that, yeah, we can take this land. It's ours. You know, Joshua was appointed to take Moses' place later on. But they weren't sent there. Do you understand that this morning? They weren't sent there to see if God could handle that. God didn't say, Moses, send 12 spies into this area to see if I can handle this. He sent those spies in there to see what God was giving them. And only two out of the 12 come back and realized, and because of that decision that Moses made, Moses wasn't allowed to go into the Promised Land. Now, he made heaven. Don't get me wrong. He made heaven, but he missed out on what was happening at the moment. He missed out on what God was wanting to do at the moment. And I think a lot of people miss out on what God wants to do in the moment because we're looking at circumstances. God saying, go take the land that I'm giving you. And we're looking, well, God, we're seeing if you can do it. And we get obstacles. And then we get discouraged. Then we get mad. Then we end up walking away from it. You know, grab this. Because here's the thing. Moses led Israel through all of this. And I think it's funny that the same leaders and the same people that saw God take him out of Israel, I mean, out of Egypt, and take 2 million people through this journey and across the land, they were the same ones that thought God wasn't big enough to take the Promised Land and miss out on everything that he was doing. And I think that still happens today. Joshua chapter 10, looking at verses 6 to 15. Joshua 10, verses 6 to 15. I kind of gave you the line item there in the setup of this. Verse 6. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makeda. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajaron. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. As it is written in the book of Shazar, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. Do you see the power in that verse? It paints this picture. It paints this example of what God wants to do. And it paints a proof that God is in the miracle business. It picture God, what he wants you to do this morning. Think, what would God want to have me do? And understand that the same God that's in the God of the Old Testament is still the God of today. Do you say amen to that? The God that still did miracles before still wants to do miracles in people's lives. I want you to see something. Maybe some of you need to write this down because this is important stuff that every generation, now hear me, every generation thinks the younger generation has something wrong with it. Every generation thinks that they are closer than the younger generation that's coming up. Proven fact. Every generation thinks their music was better. I'm moving right on. Every generation thinks that they experience God better than the younger generation. And every generation thinks that the younger generation isn't experiencing God. Every generation thinks that in the midst of getting older, that cemeteries are getting fuller of the last generation that knows God. You can say amen or oh me, because I think they have this Elijah effect. Oh God, I am the only one left to do what you've called me to do. And God shows him that, nope, there's others. So as we look at this, we got to be careful. Because every person that takes a stand risks being called a bigot. Risk being called a hate monger. Risk being called old fashioned. Risk being called out of touch, ignorant. Not just the last generation. Moses, in this text here, forgot what God had done. Do you say amen to that? He forgot. He forgot the miracles that God was doing. He forgot who he was dealing with. And Joshua here dared to believe and take God at his word. Take him at what he could do and didn't look at the only what was in front of him, but believe God to do what he needed to do. Every generation needs to hear an awakening from God. Say amen to that. Every generation needs to experience God. Every generation needs to experience it firsthand, not secondhand. I want you to know something. God's been kicked out of a lot of things and not just the schools and different things in the last generation or two. God's been kicked out for a long time in a lot of different areas. Every generation has this hot button that causes controversy. Every generation looks down on the younger and wants them to experience God the same way that they did. But we have a creative and fresh God and he can do it different if he chooses to. And one is not necessarily better than the other if there's an awakening of God and there's a closeness to God and there's an experience of God. When I look at this text, I see two questions that come out in my mind. One is, what is God trying to say in his text? What's the observation? What's the obvious? And then the second part of that is, what is God telling me in response to this text? See, the observation here, if you look at this, is Joshua and the army of Israel, they're marching through and they're destroying cities. They're destroying small armies. They're doing everything that they can to conquer. And Joshua gets wind that five kings in five countries is coming together and trying to stop what Israel is doing. And the basic thing, when Gibeon comes to Joshua and says all this is going on and you have to help us. Well, Gibeon is a whole nother story about an area of that had some ulterior motives, but God still was working through that. Joshua and his army turns around and they take this 20-mile march back to Gilgal to take over and to destroy this. And it tells us that they come at night. And you think of an army coming at night, going 20 miles in the dark, taking them by surprise, God confusing them, the Israelites' enemy into destruction. And then after, I want you to see this, after Joshua decided, Scripture says, after Joshua decided to go, then the Lord spoke to him and said, "Don't worry, Joshua, I got this." That's Zabolski paraphrase. He says this. He says, not one of them are going to destroy you. Not one of them are going to hurt you. I'm going to do this for you. Not one of them is going to be able to conquer. God tells him in verse 8, and the Lord said, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands." So what do you want? What does God want you to see in this? That God uses people. He uses the old generation and he uses the younger generation. Verse 7, he uses all the people of war and valiant warriors. He uses people who dare to trust him. Dare to not only do things in their own power, dare to use people that would be sensitive to hearing God's voice and responding. Because many people hear God's voice. The problem is they don't respond. Or they filter it through their mind so much and so long that they miss the opportunity that God is bringing to them. God uses people that don't drag their feet. And wait. Here's the thing. God uses people that don't wait till the enemy attacks. But people that are going to respond to the enemy and be the offense instead of the defense. And come and do what Christ has told him to do, using the tools that God gives us. And Scripture tells us that the whiners stayed in the camp. I didn't say it, God said it. That there's a certain portion of all of them that kind of move with the army and are a part of the movement, and they become the whiners. They were told to stay in the camp. You don't want to do this? Stay in the camp. Soldiers that moved, packed up their stuff and moved with Joshua, the young leader, because they sensed God was doing something amazing and sensed that God was using the young Joshua to be able to lead in a way that Moses wasn't. I'll say this, when you're praying for a miracle, don't expect God to do it all. Ouch. Right? I see you. When you're praying for a miracle, your prayer should be, "God, I need this done, and what part do I play in it?" That should be the tail end of your prayer. "God, this is what needs to happen. I know it's your will. I know I can't see a way to do this." And then the tail end of it is, what part do you play so that God can say, "I'm going to do this. You don't have to be afraid of it, and here's how you're going to do it." You may have to fight for it. You may have to give up a weekend. You may have to give up some of your money. You may have to get out of your comfort zone. I got several things. You may be inconvenienced. You may have to listen to somebody from a younger generation. And you may have to try some new things. Today we can learn something from Joshua and his army. We can learn that I don't know what the future holds sometimes, but I know who holds the future. You may be sitting there and you're thinking, but I'm telling you, if you do the same old thing the same old way, don't be surprised that the same old results come. It makes common sense. I do know this. I know a church, if it's just old people, won't be around for very long. That if God doesn't raise up young people to take the task, that it won't be long before it goes. I believe that Rosedale, this church that sits right on this corner in Lower Swatara, between Baker now and Rosedale Road, that if we want to do amazing things, we need God in it. And that we have to attempt these things not with fear. And that we have to take that hill full stride. And we have to do what God's called us to do in the power that He's called us to do it in the people that He's called us to do it, both young and old. And that there should be a place for everyone here. So one thing to remember, God uses people. The second part of that is this. God still does miracles. Say amen to that. I'm thankful for that. I can't imagine accomplishing what God has laid on our heart as leaders in our board meetings without God intervening. We can't do it. We can't do it without people. We can't do it without God's anointing. And we can't do it without God's resources. Verse 11 says, as they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail that were killed by the swords of the Israelites. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajarin. So that the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself of its enemies. Here's an observation that I made. You don't want to be on the wrong side of God. You don't want to be on the wrong side of God here. He killed more with hailstone than he did with the sword. Now, if that don't keep you humble, big fighting soldiers and God was picking them out by throwing ice balls at them. And then to top it off, his aim was so good that he wasn't hitting the Israelites, just the enemy. It's obvious that God still wants to do miracles, and it's obvious that God can do it without us, but he chooses to use us. Say amen to that? God chooses to use us. It's not that we're that great, but he chooses to use us. In all our smartness, We realize that the sun don't rise and the sun don't set. That the earth rotates. We understand all of that. But here's the thing. The God that created the universe, do you not think that he is big enough to stop the rotation of the earth long enough for somebody to do what they need to do? Now, he may never do it again. In fact, Scripture almost tells us it happened then and it may never happen again. But our God can be creative and he can do it in another way. I believe he can give you everything that he needs to do to make things happen in your life. So back to my original statement when I was at the beginning of this sermon. How big is your God? How big is your faith? And what's the biggest prayer that you've ever prayed? Now, I think somebody wants us today. In the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, that is one of the movies that you see 1,000 times anyways. And Jimmy Stewart says to his wife this, what do you want, Mary? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it. Now, if that's not corny, I don't know what corny is, but that's kind of what Joshua was telling Israel. He's saying, I got this. I can do these things. He was expecting God to do what he couldn't do and was not going to let his limitations stop him from asking God to do something outside of the box. It's the same thing when you look at Daniel in the lion's den. It's the same thing when Jabez prayed that monster prayer to enlarge my territory. It's the same prayer that goes on when David was coming against the Philistine and God chose there again. How humble are you if you're a 9-foot person that nobody wanted to conquer and David hits him in the head with a stone? That should keep people humble, to let you know that God will accomplish and God can take care of. And then I stop and I think of all the miracles that we've seen right here at Rosedale, of healings, of God doing amazing things. There's a reason that God says that we need to make a memorial of stones, that we need to remember what God was doing. Because when you know, I think of this, and I say this, I have a dream, and I'm not Martin Luther King, but I have a dream that God has not fulfilled yet, but I believe with all my heart he's going to. Now, the upside of that is I may have to live to 100 years old like Abraham to make it happen, but I believe God is able. God is more than able to meet those needs. And you know, God is good. Say amen to that. Don't let your circumstances or your situations cause you to stop and put limits on God. You know, when God makes a promise, he keeps them. That everyone should say amen there. When God makes a promise, he's going to keep it. And God has a sense of humor, because the way you think God should do it is absolutely, he'll use it a different way, just so that you can't say, I thought of this or I did this. So I'm going to close, and I'm going to close in just a little different way. I'm going to ask the worship team if they would make their way to the front. And in a minute, I'm going to have you guys stand, and I, you know, I'm going to ask you to do something crazy, because I'm crazy. You picked me. Just remember that. You picked me. Some of you need healing. Some of you need a financial blessing. Some of you need to restore a relationship. Some of you, you know, have been given a task and you've looked at it's too big, or it's outside of your idea of what God is. Or maybe some of you, God's given you a dream and you have lost it. You let go of it. Joshua asked God to stop the sun. I kind of look at that as like, he asked God to like, the sky is the limit. And he did it. And that's the kind of creator that we serve. So I'm going to ask you, you know, what are you going to ask God? Do you dare ask a big prayer? Albert Einstein says there are two ways to live your life. One is though there's no miracles, and the second part is live your life as though everything is a miracle. And you get to choose which one you want. So this morning I'm going to ask you, which one do you pick? So would you stand with me as we just have a time of prayer? And then I'm going to just ask you to remain standing, and the worship team will come and just give us our closing prayer. Father, this morning I'm asking, Lord Jesus, for you to do something outside of our expectations and our limits. We know, God, that we should be seeking your face through prayer. We realize, Lord God, that we ought to live our lives and work hard for the kingdom of God. We understand, Lord God, that sometimes when our circumstances and situations are bigger than we are, that, Lord Jesus, we can get discouraged and we can get angry and we can walk away from God, or at least walk away from what we know we should be doing. And this morning, Lord God, I'm asking that you would speak to each one of us in a special way. Each one of us have kingdom work to do in some form. And I don't take it lightly. For some, it's prayer. But Lord God, prayer warriors turn things for God. We need workers. We need people of prayer. We need leaders that are seeking God's face to accomplish all that you want to accomplish in our lives. We give you honor. We give you praise for those this morning that have individual needs. Lord God, may we be bold enough to ask for something bigger than ourselves, bigger than something we can do in ourselves, so that we might see in our lives the miracle power of God. In Jesus' name, amen.